Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, October 4th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Francis of Assisi. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you on this Tuesday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, today, the Catholic Church is celebrating the memorial of St. Francis of Assisi, the great founder of the Franciscans, who along with St. Clare founded the Order of the Poor Clares and later founded a lay third order. Francis was born into wealth and privilege, but chose a life of poverty and service to the poor. St. Francis preached and lived the gospel, and he saw God in everyone and in everything. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are some of the stories that are making headlines this morning?
Well, we continue to keep an eye on the recovery from Hurricane Ian in Florida and the Carolinas. That death toll now is sadly up to about 104, still expected to rise as search and rescue and recovery efforts continue across the state. The goal to get power back on for all those areas mostly affected where there's still enough infrastructure to turn things back on by this Sunday. Still parts that will be utterly devastated for months and months and months to come, including Sanibel Island and Fort Myers Beach as well, where the infrastructure has been wrecked. Of course, the causeway going out to Sanibel wiped out, along with the one going out to Pine Island. And so those areas, it'll take quite a while to get anywhere near back to normal, but things gradually getting turned back on in a variety of spots, John.
It's going to take a long, long time, many, many prayers as we continue to keep all of those folks in Florida and some also the people in the Carolinas that also went through a tough time, although nothing like with the folks in Florida. Meanwhile, North Korea has fired another ballistic missile, this time over Japan. Glenn, I saw some of the images last night. It looked like Tokyo was empty. The people must have been scared to death.
Yeah, I tell you, not wanting to miss out on the potential start of World War III here, North Korea really ramping up the missile launches in the last week or so since the visit to South Korea by the vice president and more. And yesterday they fired a missile over Japan, landed harmlessly in the Pacific, but not before having alerts sounded across Japan and people being told to take cover for about 15 minutes after the launch was detected till it was safely detected to be in the ocean.
And as I mentioned a moment ago, today is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. We're going to talk about St. Francis coming up later in the show. But when I think of St. Francis, I always also think of the blessing of the pets. I know he loved nature. He loved the animals. I came out of Mass on Saturday morning and I saw about 30 pooches outside the church waiting to be blessed, a few of them being quite vocal.
Isn't that the fun part about the Feast of St. Francis? We get that time in the church where all the animals get to hang out. And you know, it's not just the kids making a lot of noise. I always enjoy that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for us dog lovers. I got to confess, Blaze has not formally been blessed at a parish on the Feast of St. Francis, but I do from time to time take a little extra holy water and throw it on Blaze. So, you know, as lay people, we I guess we can, of course, bless our pets ourselves.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, you got that right at the opening that, you know, encourage people. You can buy a little holy water font for your house. So, yeah, we should have that little blessing. They deserve a little blessing, too. And it's always interesting to see if there's a little sizzle after you drop a little holy water on either a child or a misbehaving child or pet, you know?
Anytime you see a lot of dogs all together, it's always fun. I remember years ago taking our old beagle, Snoopy, to the White Sox game for Dog Day afternoon, and they paraded in a parade of about 300 dogs in the outfield, and what a blast that was.
It sounds like
except
a good time.
Except for the outfielders, perhaps.
They probably didn't like that, especially if there wasn't any pooper scoopers following those dogs on parade.
There you go. All right, Sarah and Glenn, as always, thanks so much. And
sure thing, John.
As I mentioned, we continue in prayer, and we continue to keep in mind all of the people of Florida and the Carolinas affected by Hurricane Ian. We start this morning with the powerful memorare, asking the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, to help all of those people involved. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petition, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 15:5. Jesus the Lord says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that without him, we cannot do anything. A branch cannot grow if it's disconnected from the vine. We can only bear fruit, that is, achieve personal holiness, do good works, and keep the commandments by the grace of God. Christ is the true source of the church's work and our lay apostolates. Without Jesus, we cannot do anything. But with him, everything is possible according to God's will. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. If you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149 is the number. Now, as you may know, our Lord Jesus Christ is truly present in a special way, par excellence, in the Holy Eucharist. Christ is also present in the priests. He's present in the scriptures, and where two or more are gathered in his name. But have you ever felt like there are times that we don't recognize Jesus when he is present in our lives? Similarly, there are notable experiences in the Bible where people did or did not recognize Jesus literally, or where they did recognize him. Joining us live from our nation's capital is Catholic writer Laura DeMaria to talk about recognizing Jesus. Laura is a nonprofit management professional living in the metro Washington, D.C. area. She's a revert to the faith. At her personal website, lauradeMaria.com, she writes on topics including personal development, spiritual study, and living the Catholic faith in daily life. Good morning, Laura. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us this morning. It's good to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. Great as always to be with you.
Absolutely. What are some of the possible reasons in our everyday lives where we may not recognize Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think mostly it's motivated by our own personal emotional state. You know, so I've been thinking about this question of what does it mean to recognize Jesus, and how can we do that in our lives? And you provided some great examples. You know, he's in the Eucharist. He really is present in our lives. We can be with him, but sometimes we really simply don't recognize him. And we have the examples of several of our saints from the Bible who had this exact same experience. So we're not alone, you know, and whereas today we can experience anxiety or sadness or depression that makes us feel separated from Jesus, So did those people who really literally physically lived with him and really should have, we think, to our minds, should have been able to recognize him.
I think we don't have to go too far other than just today's saint, St. Francis of Assisi. He seemed to recognize Jesus in the face of just about everybody. And in more modern times, the first one that comes to mind is St. Mother Teresa, another one who saw Jesus everywhere, especially in the poor.
Yeah, exactly. So in our modern times, even though we are not literally sitting down with the person of Jesus at dinner, you know, we're not literally breaking bread with him or inviting him over to our house, we do have the ability to see him in other people and in other situations. So St. Francis, St. Mother Teresa, both great examples. St. Francis saw God in everyone around him, and in a special way in the animals, in the natural world. You know, of course, God is present in the natural world. He created it. So our pets and our backyard animals and our neighbor's backyard dog, those are all places where you can see the presence of God. And likewise, even more importantly, the way that Mother Teresa was able to see the living God in the people that she served. And we have that same opportunity as well. You know, most of us are not living in a situation of dire poverty ourselves or helping those who are in that situation, but we're in an opportunity to serve and to interact with people constantly, all the time, within our own family, within our professional situations, in any volunteer capacities, within our churches and parishes. So we always want to remember that although we're not sitting down with Jesus as a physical person, we are called to see him in the people around us on a day-to-day basis. And that is the way that we recognize Jesus in our lives.
For sure. In fact, I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of our conversation, you early birds, we're talking about recognizing Jesus. Or if you have a question or comment for Catholic author Laura DeMaria, we have some open lines, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Laura, can you talk about a few of those experiences in the Bible where people did not recognize Jesus?
Yeah, we've got a couple of really good examples of this. And when you come across these passages, when you read them in the scripture, it can be kind of confusing because you think, well, Jesus is standing right in front of you. Why don't you know who he is? You know, and I think it's something really worth praying about in sort of a Lectio Divina kind of way, or just a contemplative way of really sitting with a couple of these stories and saying, what was that person experiencing who didn't see Jesus? And when have I felt that way? And so the first really good example is with Mary Magdalene. So remember when Mary Magdalene, so, you know, also context, she's known Jesus very well. She's walked with him. She has conversed with him. She's been with the disciples. She's had meals with him, been in lots of situations with him. After he dies and is resurrected, after the 3 days outside the tomb, when the disciples are figuring out that he's not there anymore, you know, he's there and now he's gone, and Mary Magdalene is outside the tomb, and she realizes that he's no longer there. And she speaks to two of the angels even inside of the tomb, and she doesn't actually recognize that they're angels. There's no mention that she understands she's speaking with angels. And then, of course, Jesus himself appears, and she's crying, and she says, "Where have you taken him?" And she mistakes him for the gardener. So she mistakes the God of the universe for the gardener of this cemetery. And it's not until he calls her name that she recognizes him. And then he goes on to say, "Don't cling to me because I have not risen." So you get a couple of clues there. She's crying, she's mistaking him, and then when she sees him, she clings to him, which of course is the right response. But that means that she's had this very emotional experience of her grief and her sadness and her just confusion. You know, why isn't he here? To, oh my goodness, now he's right here in front of me and I have to hold on to him. And so if you read this passage, it really is kind of confusing. You know, you think maybe she's crying so much she can't literally see him, but I think that there's something a little deeper to it. I think that there's something about the meaning of not being able to see Jesus, you know, and in this new form, he's resurrected. You know, maybe it was too much for her to even really understand. And so I think another piece of this too, of our sometimes inability to recognize Jesus, is that he doesn't look like what we think he should look like. And there's another example I can get to too, where a couple of other disciples think that Jesus should look a certain way and they don't recognize him. So the lesson for us is, maybe I'm not recognizing Jesus in my life because I think that he's supposed to look a certain way. And I'm not recognizing him in the difficult relationship that's in my life, you know, at my work or in my personal world, or some personal struggle that I really need his help with, and I don't see him in this situation. Maybe it's because we think he should look like something else.
And the other story that we reflect on at Easter time is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's a great story. And take us through that story and how in the end it was through the breaking of the bread that they realized, my goodness, this is Jesus.
Yeah. And these simple, there's so many symbols in these, like even just that phrase, recognized him in the breaking of the bread. That's the moment when the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, now they're in an inn or, you know, somewhere having dinner, the breaking of the bread. For us now, that means the Eucharist. That means when you go to Mass and you receive communion, that's where you recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. So that's just a nice, you know, if people have never heard that interpretation, it's a really nice thing to be thinking about. But so, yeah, it's similarly, just after the resurrection, Jesus encounters these two disciples. They're walking in a certain direction, kind of away from where they should be going. And they're sad and they're downcast and they're described as being downcast. They're very anxious. And Jesus comes up and they don't recognize him. So again, we think, why? You know, he's right there. I mean, you saw him when he was alive. He's right beside you. But their eyes were prevented from seeing him, is what the scripture says. And not only that, but as they're walking and they're sad because, you know, this leader that they followed has been killed and so gruesomely, and they're very confused. And they say, well, we really thought he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And they're recounting to Jesus, who they don't recognize, all of the events of the last few days. We thought he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And then Jesus goes on to, not only is he there physically present, but then he goes on to, it says, interpret what all the scriptures said about him. So he's interpreting what for us is the Old Testament, all of the prophecies and things that indicated, yeah, this is Jesus, this is who he is. And they still don't recognize him. And so again, it's not until they say, rather than you go on your way, come join with us, have a meal, let's continue this conversation. This is really interesting. And it's in that moment that Jesus breaks the bread that they recognize him. So again, we've got these factors of we're anxious and sad, and this isn't the person that we thought he was going to be.
And I think that scene from the two disciples on the road to Emmaus is a great reminder for us during these 3 years of this Eucharistic revival. We need to recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread, in the Holy Eucharist. It takes faith to realize that it may look like bread and taste like bread, but he's truly and substantially present, body, blood, soul, divinity, right there in the Holy Eucharist. And so just a nice reminder of being open to recognizing him, that he is with us, just like he said he would be.
Yes, and it's such a gift that we have in the faith. And of course, there have been so many saints who have over and over emphasized the importance of the Eucharist and of receiving communion. And I think it was St. Padre Pio, whose feast day was just recently, who said that if people really understand the Eucharist, you know, they would be running to churches. And it's true. You know, I mean, I think everyone, all of us kind of have sort of we don't have kind of that wonder around the Eucharist on a regular basis unless you really put yourself, you know, in that moment. But that's exactly right. You know, when he said, as he ascended, that I will be with you until the end of the age, we have him in the body and bread, you know, or in the body and blood of Jesus in the Eucharist every Sunday, or even more often than that.
Okay, so some folks didn't recognize him, but there were some characters in Scripture that did recognize him, and they recognized him, like, right away.
Yes, they did. And from the moment that Jesus was born. So we've got the Magi, right? We've got
they came to adore him, Anna. In fact. Not just recognize, they came to worship and adore him.
Right, and weren't even Jewish, you know, didn't come from the same custom, but they interpreted the stars and the signs and everything, and came from a very long distance. You know, they knew right away from the moment he was born. And likewise, Anna and Simeon in the temple when he's going to be circumcised. You know, so there are these figures. My favorite, though, is Zacchaeus. So you think about later when Jesus is in his ministry. Zacchaeus is the short tax collector who's interested in Jesus. He wants to see who he was. That's what the scripture tells us. So Jesus is passing through. Zacchaeus, because he's short, runs up this tree. Jesus calls him down, and Zacchaeus invites him to his house. And he's so transformed by this moment of faith that he gives up a bunch of his property and his wealth. And Jesus says, this is a true believer. You know, this is someone who really, basically, this is someone who really understands who I am. And so you see these individuals who have these encounters with Jesus because they recognize him going away really transformed, you know, so they don't allow their doubt and their despair and their anxiousness to guide them. Instead, they let their faith guide them, and that turns into transformative action.
Laura, in the final moment that we have, just your thoughts on the importance of prayer, just communicating from the heart with our Lord, so that we can get to know him better and then be able to recognize Jesus better.
Yeah, prayer is just essential. You know, I've been on your show so many times to talk about it because I really believe that. You know, it's our lifeline to God. And if you want to get to know someone in a relationship, you got to communicate with them. You got to spend time with them. And prayer is our way to do that. So that doesn't mean you have to sit down for 45 minutes every day, you know, just 5 or 10 minutes to tell God what's on your heart and to ask him in this instance, you know, hey, where are you calling me to recognize you in my life and in others? And so prayer is a critical part of this whole process of being able to recognize Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, I always appreciate your perspective. A great reminder for us here this morning. And I think maybe if we start the morning with just a simple, short morning offering, that sets the tone for the whole day, and everything else can fall into place.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Laura. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Many blessings to you. Laura DeMaria, you can find her at lauradeMaria.com. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America, will join us with the latest on Respect Life Month in a post-Roe America and what Students for Life are doing in anticipation of the elections that are coming up, the midterms, in many different college campuses. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel that. It's a beautiful day.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. It's a joy to be with you on this Tuesday morning, the memorial of St. Francis of Assisi. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, every October, the Catholic Church in the U.S. celebrates Respect Life Month. This past Sunday, we celebrated Respect Life Sunday. As Catholic Christians, we are called to cherish, defend, and protect those who are the most vulnerable from the beginning to the end of their lives and every point in between. During this month of October, the Church is asking us to reflect in a more deeper way on the dignity of every human life. Now, joining us live from somewhere in Ohio is Morning Air contributor Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action for much more on Respect Life Month and the Make Abortion Illegal Again speaking tour, which is starting on 8 campuses, college campuses across our country. Kristen is a Catholic Christian, a wife, a mother, a grassroots activist, author, speaker, and a human rights advocate who's coordinated a national team that serves over 1,200 Students for Life chapters in all 50 states and has trained well over 150,000 young people. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's always a joy to be with you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Kristen, for those who are not familiar with Respect Life Month, can you tell us a little bit about it and why this is such an important time?
Well, this is an important month for Christians across the globe to, as you mentioned, to reflect upon the dignity and the value of every human life. And I think really to call into question ourselves, challenge ourselves. What are we doing as Catholics across the globe to stand in the gap, to stand for the most vulnerable in our world, to, you know, be their voice? And that's what I love so much about, you know, this Respect Life Month is really that questioning that you know, in every Mass, when we're praying for the preborn who are scheduled to die, when we're praying for their mothers who are facing unplanned crisis situations, it calls us to account, to ask ourselves, what more should we and can we be doing?
And Kristen, this is a special Respect Life Month for Students for Life of America because it's the first one ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned. What are you guys doing in a special way here this month to gear up for this Respect Life Month?
Sure. Well, we're going to be on campuses, and we started on campuses with our Abortion is Not Right campus tour. They'll say about 200 campuses. As you just mentioned, I'm launching today at Ohio State University and University of Cincinnati. My Make Abortion Illegal Again, a speaking tour that will be at Harvard and Yale next week and other campuses across the country in the following weeks. And really what we've set out to do this school year, particularly this new first year in a post-Roe America, is to have more conversation. And so our goal, this aggressive goal I've set out for our team, is to have 1 million conversations this year with Gen Z, those young people who are in high school and college right now, who are watching the news, who are seeing the tweets and the Instagram posts and TikTok videos, really of the fear-mongering that the abortion lobby and their propaganda arm is pushing out. And now is the time for us, I believe in this Respect Life Month especially, to get busy having conversations. Because when you have conversations about abortion, regardless of whether, you know, who you're speaking to or how the conversation got started, truth is on your side, and truth can never be hidden.
Well, it's a very important month, obviously, and you know, I think it's extremely timely that you are visiting these campuses because it's hard to put into words just how brainwashed these young college students and even high school and even grammar school, for that matter, kids are being brainwashed these days. That's all I can say is, you know, they just the untruths, you know, the flat out lies about the issue of life that just go on day after day after day. And so we need to be a voice for the voiceless.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to see that today at both campuses that I'm visiting. Protests have been planned of my appearance, that the very fact that I'm allowed on campus angers some of these students who, quite frankly, and do not believe in the First Amendment, do not hold that dear. And I think what we'll see is just a lot of, really what we'll see is a lot of fear. I'll see a lot of anger and vitriol, but it all comes down to fear. And that's kind of what we'll be talking to young people about, is what are their fears? What have they heard from the abortion lobby? How can we help assure them that this new post-Roe America that we have the honor to live in is not an America, is not a future that they should fear? And that when you're being told to fear the innocent, precious life of a child, there's something wrong there. And you need to evaluate who is telling you these messages. Is it a predatory business who stands to profit off of your despair? If so, evaluate the statements that they make, the comments that they make, the quote-unquote facts that they propagate.
Well, we're definitely going to talk a little bit further about your work on these college campuses with these young students who really need to be told the truth, who need to be encouraged and motivated and inspired. Do you feel good about the pro-life college students that are on many, many campuses across the country?
Absolutely. I mean, we saw two legal victories yesterday. We launched a lawsuit against the high school on Friday for a First Amendment discrimination, but we saw two victories just yesterday of high schools where our Students for Life groups were previously not allowed. One we had to sue, the other we just had to publicly shame into getting our group allowed to be on campus. I'm more motivated than ever because these young people, they're more motivated than ever. They understand that this is not a time to quote unquote rest on laurels in the pro-life movement. This is a time to get busy and that our work has really just begun. And the legacy that we hope to create, this is the moment in which we will create it where, where the question will be examined, what did the pro-life movement do after Roe versus Wade? Did we simply just sit back and let the conversation and debate wage and allow some states to act to protect women and children and other states to continue to prey upon them? Or did we get busy? Did we get on the ground having conversations, continuing to change hearts and minds about this issue? Did we get busy serving in our communities, in our parishes, in our schools, in our workplaces, women who are facing unplanned crisis pregnancies? That's really where our legacy will be, is what did we do after Roe versus Wade reversed? Did we make abortion unthinkable? Did we work to make abortion unavailable? That is our goal in the pro-life movement and what we're striving towards every day.
And Students for Life has thought about this. You guys have a game plan that you've been implementing, and obviously it's more important than ever here in this month of October, Respect Life Month, in anticipation of the upcoming midterm elections.
Absolutely, yes. Our team in Students for Life Action has been already busy on the ground. The students were just in Alaska door knocking last weekend. I was a little jealous, to be honest with you. The pictures were amazing, and it's light all the time right now. So they were able to door knock a lot longer than normal. But we are going to be in a very important state that will determine the fate of the U.S. Senate this month, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Ohio, door knocking, educating voters about where their Senate candidates stand on the issue of life. We're also going to be online. In 2020, we launched our Vote Pro Life First digital ad campaign, which in 1 month we saw 99,000 18 to 24 year old voters change their minds and commit to becoming a pro-life first voter. We're going to be launching, it's a nearly a seven-figure campaign to see hundreds of thousands of young people challenged and to change their mind when it comes to how they will evaluate the candidates they vote for. And we'll also be launching our peer-to-peer texting campaign where students across the country, even those who can't join us for a door-knocking weekend to educate voters, will actually be personally text messaging voters in key states and having conversations with them with the same goal, to get them to reevaluate their position on life, to educate them about where candidates stand. We are extremely excited for this initiative, and it's going to be the largest one we've ever launched. So critically important, especially when you think about, I hear a lot of folks talking about the Kansas ballot initiative. When you look into why that pro-life ballot initiative failed, what happened, what went wrong, what went well, one of the things that we saw immediately was the youth vote mattered and how the abortion industry registered and drove out by tens of thousands first-time youth voters who voted pro-abortion. This is the audience that has to reach, but sadly, a lot of times in our campaigns, gets completely forgotten about, and we're gonna go and reach them.
Well, there's no question that Students for Life is doing fantastic work. And Kristen, for our listeners that may be older and not part of Students for Life, some words of encouragement of what you two can do to make a difference, to stand up for the unborn, for the voiceless here in this month of October.
You can do so much. Put a bumper sticker for standingwithyou.org on your website. That's a free resource website that a woman across the country can go in and get immediate help and get connected with maternity homes, pregnancy centers, medical centers in their community that all provide nonviolent health care. You know, on your Facebook page, start talking about when a child develops in the womb, what that child looks like. Show the humanity of the child in the womb. Promote the resources, the pregnancy centers in your community. Talk to young people in your life, your grandchildren, your children. Ask them their thoughts on abortion. Ask them what they know. See what they don't know. Fill in the gap.
Yeah, those are just a few, and there's many, many other things that we can do. But everybody can at least do something here during this month of October, Respect Life Month. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of our conversation about promoting the culture of life, specifically on college campuses, we're taking your calls for Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We have to take a short time out, but we're going to continue our discussion with Kristen. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. This is Morning Air.
Triple 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking with our good friend, Morning Air contributor, Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America. We're talking about Respect Life Month and all the great things that Students for Life of America is doing, specifically on college campuses. We'll be back to Kristen in just a moment. But I want to remind you that October is the month of the Rosary. We're inviting you to celebrate with us here at Relevant Radio. Tune in to the Family Rosary across America every night at 7 p.m. Central to pray the rosary with and for families across our nation. Our families need our prayers, and our families really need them now more than ever before. And remember the famous words of Father Peyton, the family that prays together stays together. So there's no better time than right now to start praying together, start praying the rosary. You can join on your local Relevant Radio station or through the mobile app or online at relevantradio.com/Family Rosary Across America. Pray with Father Rocky, Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. I want you to listen to this exchange on a college campus by Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America, that's with us this morning, that she had with a student at Boston College.
Do you think that the children that are apprehended at the border that are in U.S. government care, do you think like babies who are going to die should be resuscitated and be given care?
Yes.
Do you believe that like a baby who's born alive during an abortion in a Planned Parenthood should get care?
No.
Kristen, that was an amazing exchange. Tell us how the rest of it went.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to get the young girl, the pro-abortion protester at Catholic Boston College, to show me where her line was, where she felt that human beings should receive care, life-sustaining care, and really to see how far she was willing to go in her support for abortion. And, you know, in her defense, she tried to be very consistent with her views. And so she felt that children who are accidentally born alive during abortion, despite the abortionist's best intentions to end the child's life, should not receive life-sustaining care, because she felt that because a mother decided she was going to abort her child, therefore the child did no longer had value, which is, you know, as anyone listening to the exchange who watches that full exchange can just, you know, instantly cringe at the bullet she was willing to bite to justify her radical abortion views. They actually, you know, admire her willingness to admit that she feels that, you know, human life, wrongly feels that human life, the value of human life is subjective to how other people view you. This is a fundamentally a wrong view to hold. And it's a view, to be honest with you, I think if she was probably faced with those situations in her life, if she saw a child who had just been born despite an attempted abortion, I like to think that her humanity would show and she would try to care for that child. But intellectually trying to justify her views for abortion, she had to admit what the abortion industry really believes and the logical consequences of those beliefs.
Kristen, do you think that this kind of illogical thinking, this anti-science perspective is kind of typical, a sample of what you're seeing and having to deal with in many college campuses across our country?
Absolutely. I mean, you see what I'll see today on campus being shouted at me. There'll be a lot of 1970s mantra of it's a blob of tissue, it's nothing. And a lot of the statements that we'll hear are, I kind of think of them as unthinking statements, statements that they've heard on TV, they heard, you know, a famous actress or something use, and they simply just repeat them without thinking them through. My objective when I have these kind of Q&A debates with students is really get them to slow down and to ask questions and get them to really think about what it is that they're really saying. And to be honest with you, I find that, you know, the most valuable parts of those discussions, I've heard people, you know, say, well, why do you go to campuses? You're not going to change, you know, these protesters' minds. And to some of them, that's true. They've already decided that they hate me, that they hate everything I stand for. So it's going to be very hard to get those people to change their minds. However, the people in the audience, those who are sitting in the audience, who are in the middle on this issue, who've come out to really kind of hear more information, to get someone who supports abortion to show the logical result of their support for abortion like that girl at Boston College, that girl helped me change minds. Because the other students in the audience, I remember that moment very clearly, because I remember the face of a boy who was sitting in the audience whose eyes got huge as soon as she had to admit that she had a child who was born an abortion being left to die. She helped me change more minds than probably anything I said.
Kristen, is this what helps keep you going, motivates you, knowing that even if just one person changes their mind listening to what you have to say, it's well worth the effort?
Absolutely. You know, I used to be terrified to go and do these types of events, thinking, oh my gosh, someone's going to ask me something that I know nothing about. And then I came to realize the pro-life movement, you know, premise is very simple. And no matter what kind of circumstance they throw at you, the ending result is we believe in the pro-life movement that human beings shouldn't be killed, that innocent human beings shouldn't be killed. We know definitively science proves that what is inside of a mother is a human being, therefore babies shouldn't be killed. That is it. And, you know, there's no matter what the circumstance is, and then trust me, I hear all these heartbreaking circumstances. That's the premise of the pro-life movement. And my job is simply to get that truth out there. And to, you know, my prayer, like today, for example, when I'm going to be out there with protesters, you know, my prayer is have the Holy Spirit work through you. Ask the Holy Spirit to work through you. Because I have to admit, John, like I've been on campuses I'll have a student come up to me at the end of my speech and will say, you know that line you said about this, that totally changed everything. I never wanted to admit that I was pro-life. I never thought I was pro-life. But then you said that, and I realized I have to be pro-life. And it's so funny because I'll listen to the student, and I'm like, that wasn't even in my speech. Like, that wasn't even something I thought I said. Like, I don't even remember saying that. But that's those amazing Holy Spirit moments, as I call them. And so that's what gives me so much to know. I'm just simply that willing vessel.
Kristen, you're giving me Holy Spirit goosebumps because what you are doing is so important. You and all your fellow students for Life of America across so many different campuses. Now, today, here in the final moments, I want you to tell our listeners about the game plan. I know you're going to be visiting a number of campuses in the upcoming days here this month. You have a double header today, starting with the University of Ohio State, the home of the Buckeyes, and then University of Cincinnati today. So it's a big day for you.
Absolutely. Our game plan this fall is to have, and this spring, this whole school year, is to have a million conversations, whether that's at the voter's doorstep, whether that's online changing minds, or whether it's in person with my speaking tour, or, you know, our campus tour that's going around campuses right now this fall. We are going to have conversations with young people, and we're going to change minds. We're changing the minds of 10% of young people we talk to in person on campuses, and online, 20% of their minds. So we can do this, but we just got to keep going out there. We got to keep pounding the pavement. We've got to be recruiting this pro-life generation to be bolder than ever before, despite all of the violence, despite all of the threats. We've got to stay out there and stay at the forefront of folks' minds, because when truth gets out there, we win.
There's 35 days left before the midterms. How important is this upcoming November 8th election?
If the Democrats win, and I'm going to be very blunt, if the Democrats retain control of the U.S. Congress, both House and Senate, they have pledged to pass the Women's Health, quote, Empowerment Act, which will codify Roe versus Wade and go further, erasing every single state law protecting women and children from the predatory abortion industry, legalizing abortion all 9 months, and forcing you and I and every taxpayer in America to pay for abortion, and criminalize the actions of nurses and doctors and medical staff across the country who refuse to participate in abortion. That's what's at stake during this election.
And that's why Students for Life of America is knocking on doors in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Ohio, trying to make a difference, because this is a very important election. Kristen, we've run out of time. God bless you. You're doing fantastic work. We're with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. God bless. Say a prayer for me today.
Absolutely. Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Biggest Heart. It's from the Catholic Servants. Russ Rooney shares this story from his friend Kenny. I'm sharing with you the innocence of a boy with the biggest hearts. My son was diagnosed with spina bifida. My wife and I only had a slight idea of what this meant. Our hearts sank to learn the child that we struggled to conceive might never walk and play with friends because of cognitive and physical disabilities. It wasn't until I found out that Tripp had an imaginary friend that I started to regain my faith. My son told me how he was playing with Jesus in his room. My little guy made his first friend, Jesus, who's pushing him to move and not let this world get him down. I always thought Tripp just didn't know any different in the world, but this smart little guy figured the best support was his best friend, Jesus. I realized that God chose my wife and me to give this little guy a home where we could love him and never give up on him. As Tripp got older, he'd always use words of kindness. When walking with a group, he'd move over and politely say, "After you," so others could get by. Tripp would always say hello, thank you, and most importantly, would say please when he needed something. It wasn't often he asked for help, but when someone offered, you'd always hear a tiny, high-pitched thank you. He was always asking if something was wrong when he thought someone was depressed. If he wasn't asking a child why he or she was sad, he was offering a toy or something to play with, even though that would have meant he'd have nothing to play with himself. This little guy has the most empathy for others. Tripp can feel the pain of others as he reaches out to see how he can help. He'll also make you laugh if he wants to cheer you up. And his pure excitement to tell you a story or pay attention to him just to see you smile brings joy to everyone who's watching. This little boy has so much heart, and he shares it with so many who feel broken. Isaiah 11:6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and lion and fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate another powerful story corner. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, our resident loveologist, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will discuss how to love like St. Francis of Assisi, whom we honor today. Plus, Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, will be with us to talk about how to stay positive and upbeat, no matter what happens in your life. So stay with us. Do not change that dial. There's much more to come next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.